This is going to be an autopsy on the probably the worst, most disastrous, most harmful fake rapture, false rapture prediction in the history of humanity. At least that's my opinion about it. I'll explain why as we go. Some of you are like, what do you mean? I didn't really hear about it. I mean, because we're all in our bubbles online, even though we all think everybody else is in a bubble. We don't think we're in a bubble. But here's the thing. I want, if you were one believing in the rapture, if you were one who was confident, maybe you even made predictions about it, I want this video to offer you some hope, but also some very serious, no-nonsense, straightforward confrontation about these issues. I want to do both. I want to confront you, but I want to offer you hope. But we're going to do an autopsy on this thing first. We're going to walk through what happened. We're going to walk through how bad it was. And we're going to explain, like, why this was totally preventable, completely avoidable, and how you can learn and avoid it in the future. That's my thought. My name is Mike Winger. I'm here to help you learn to think biblically about everything. For the last 3 weeks, I've taken my weekly Friday Q&A videos, and I've addressed, in addition to doing answers, questions and answers, which I hope I will have time for today. That's my plan. This is going to be a long one, guys. This is going to be a long one because I have so much footage to show you of all the kookiness and all of the mistakes and all of the confidence and all the genuine hearts and the liars, both is a mixed bag. You're going to see it all. So let's just jump into it. And this is Joshua. It's probably Malakela. But I like to think of him as Joshua Malakala. Do 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 Malakala. Do 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 Malakala. That's how I like my memory device for remembering this guy's name, because it was different. But he's a South African guy in Johannesburg. On TikTok, do you know that on a news article I read said there was over 350,000 videos on TikTok with Rapture Talk, the hashtag. Most of them, obviously, now at this point, mocking the rapture, mocking people. Some people apologizing, some people doubling down and changing dates. But this is the autopsy. We're going to give the autopsy. Here's the guy that started it, and then we'll show you why it cascaded into a giant thing that has messed up a lot of people's lives. Because this guy is a pathological psychopath. Like, I think he has zero care for other people, other human beings. You guys are NPCs to him in a video game he's playing. This was all just good times for him.
It is certain. It is 100%. There is no doubt whatsoever. In 3 weeks, child of God, you will see your God, Jesus Christ, face to face.
The smugness. Look at his smugness. So, yeah, he's not speaking truth here, but we don't know where he came from. Joshua Malakala came out of nowhere. Malakala. Do-do-do-do-do. Malakala. Do-do-do-do. He came out of nowhere, this guy. And then he caught fire because he went viral. And then people started saying, well, I had a dream that confirmed it. I had these visions. Or I did my calculations and I confirmed it with scripture. And so all these people, reckless people, people who are often well-intended, but they're not spiritually discerning. Even though they thought they were, and many of them still think they are. They think I'm insulting them, even though they predicted the return of Jesus and were wrong, and they still haven't realized. You still haven't realized. But hopefully you will. This is the autopsy. Let's realize what's going on. So this is Dr. Barry Yaw. He confirms, as you can see the video title, confirms Joshua's testimony. And I'll just play a portion of his video, but look at how strongly he feels about this.
It for me. When we look at these other timelines, how they all converge, they confirm each other. And we're at a place where everything fits perfectly. If it does not result in the rapture at the appointed time of the...
You can see there's like a intensity, okay? This is not just someone who's... Dr. Barry Yaw is not, I don't think, knowingly lying. I think what he's doing is he's deceiving others and himself, but you can tell the intensity that's in his mind and heart. You can hear the quivering in his breath as he's like, if this doesn't happen, but listen to more.
The awakening blast, Yom Teruah, 23rd and 24th of 25. Then all of a sudden we're looking at imperfection of a lot of things. And I seriously would not know how to proceed. I have come to an awakening knowledge, if you will, that I believe the Holy Spirit slapped me in the face with. I believe Jesus himself wanted me to know this at this time, for such a time as this, that I may share this with you.
That's what, now, he believed it so confidently that you can see his post on, from just 4 days ago, or maybe I took this picture maybe yesterday, but from just before the supposed September 23rd, 24th rapture in 2025, he posts this. He says, and I'll show you, he put pictures of his kids and his family. I'm not going to show his kids. I don't show people's kids on cameras if I can avoid that. But it says, if you want to know how certain I am about the Feast of Trumpets 25 rapture, these farewell pictures are serving as my final post here on this earth. My next position will be in heaven, appointed by the Lord Jesus himself. It has been a delightful ride, and I love you all. We will see you on the air, in the air, on Yom Teruah. Hallelujah. I do hope this channel somehow helps those left behind. He is still here, obviously. He hasn't posted on his channel yet. He hasn't changed anything. But here's the thing. Dr. Barryaw, why did I highlight him? Because this guy is a habitual rapture predictor, and you wouldn't have known it. He doesn't tell you this. Here's him talking about rapture August 13th, rapture self-same day, Pentecost-focused rapture. Here's him saying rapture in April of 2025. I think the rapture is April of 2025. Here's him 5 years ago saying June rapture date is set in the stars. This is an unstable man. He is deceiving and is deceived. And as much as he seems sincere, as much as his heart goes out, this is a man everybody has to realize, like, be warned. Dr. Barryaw will almost certainly come out with another date before the end of the year, probably within a few days. This is most likely what's going to happen. Now, if he comes out with an incredible repentance video and he recants and deletes his entire channel and just says, I need to go sit under good church leadership. This is my counsel to you, Dr. Barry. Go sit under good church leadership. I doubt you go to a church. I'm doubting. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe you need to go to a different church. But sit under church leadership and go ask your pastor, how did I get this so wrong? Help me find what is wrong in my thinking here, that I'm dishonoring Christ by making him look foolish, by making Christianity look foolish, by making the Bible look foolish over and over and over again. Dr. Barryaw is an example of a watchman. They call themselves watchmen. And these people are constantly predicting stuff. And there are others who never predict stuff. But this 2025, this September, they went out on a limb and they staked everything they had on this. A guy named his YouTube channel is Medic for Christ, staked everything he had, and I actually respect this guy. I'll show you him later. I respect him because of the way he's responding. So the next one I want to show you is one of this sort of cluster who actually got on a live stream with the fake prophet, the false prophet, the lying prophet, Joshua Malakala. 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 That guy. This guy on your screen here got on a live stream with him, a 12-hour live stream that they did the day the rapture was supposed to take place, and it ends in a very depressing and awkward place. I'll play a bunch of clips from that today as well. But I want you to see how many people were validating and verifying Joshua with their own deceitful visions, their own misinterpretations, their own thought, their own dreams that came from their hearts. That's a possibility. Dreams that came from Satan, that is a real possibility. He disguises himself as an angel of light. That's true. He's laughing and cackling right now because of the embarrassment this brought upon the church. Although people like me warned you, plenty of us warned you, and you called us scoffers and mockers. You slandered us. And we're here now saying, okay, it's over. Now let's get you back up. Let's get you grounded on truth. And we demand that you learn the lessons and that you not play games, because a lot of people are playing games. I'll play clips of them too. They're just getting worse instead of better.
It's as if God all weekend was revealing to me that what he's been telling these other people is true. He told me the same thing, but I still had a little bit of doubt, and I don't know why. I'm so sorry, God, for that. And 25 September, he's coming. He's coming for his church. Last night, I had a dream that I was with Jesus.
So he's confirming Dr. Joshua. He's like, I know it. I know it's true. And there's these people who come alongside to confirm, a whole bunch of them, tons and tons of them. Then there are those, they don't come alongside to confirm. What they do is they come alongside to like get on top of this thing and be, I'm going to pretend like the prophecy's from me. And so here's an example of that South African pastor who's trying to act like it's coming from him. Mark and avoid this guy. Mark and avoid. There's those who are deceived, and then those who are more actively deceiving others. Now, if you're just deceived, it's because you were lied to, you believed it, but you didn't go out and tell everybody that there was a rapture coming. if you are deceiving, you told other people that they had to count on this, they had to believe on this. You were a deceiver in the name of Jesus. That's a very, you're not hopeless. Don't be Judas. Go hang yourself. Don't do that craziness. You need to learn the lessons though and go, I was a deceiver. Now, if you put yourself up there as having a personal private revelation, not just calculations, that's bad enough, but personal revelation from Jesus, you were deceived about hearing the voice of God, which is a very significant spiritual problem. You need to go see a pastor, local church leadership, and ask them, how did I get this wrong? Please help me figure out how to never let it happen again. But here's the guy who everybody should be aware of.
So the reason why I'm sitting here today is because I'm announcing a day. There is a day coming, and that day we call it the day of rapture.
There's more.
Them blowing shofars on the Temple Mount, Red Heifer, Brother Joshua's testimony, hundreds of confirmations and visions and dreams of September 23rd, the UN General Assembly about to divide the land of Israel, all the convergences and the timelines.
The guy I just showed you didn't actually say for sure it was going to happen. This isn't, because it's a mixed bag. Some people were like, I know it'll happen. Some said, I really think it'll happen. And so there's a variety there. I have more grace to the people who I really think it'll happen. I have less for those who are like, I know it will happen. God showed me. That's dangerous spiritual delusion. And you were guiding others into sinful error. You did sin. That was a serious sin. You can recover. You can be forgiven. But you have to take it on the chin. This gentleman here, you have to take something on the chin too. Sir, you got to humble yourself before God. You are not humble before God. I watched the rest of your video. I've seen you rebuking and chastising everybody else on the planet over these issues. But you need to genuinely humble yourself and learn the lesson. The things you thought were signs, they were just you pulling together confirmation bias, pieces of evidence that made you feel like you knew what was up and you were wrong. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands that fell into that. This is Michael, his Medic for Christ is his actual YouTube channel. This is what he was saying before the rapture. Now he changed his tune. This guy genuinely repented, and I respect him for it. So thank you for that, sir.
I have seen so many credible, compelling dreams, visions, and experiences leading to September this year, more than I've ever seen ever in any time in the past.
Dreams, confirmations, and experiences. That's a good way to summarize the different categories of things. So you have, you know, prophets trying to tell you, especially Joshua. This evil, like he doesn't care about anybody. This was clear to me. I watched many hours of the footage. It was very obvious to me that the man doesn't care about anybody. They're NPCs in a game he's playing, and he's just getting a kick out of it. That's how it looks to me entirely. Someone like Michael, it's very clear that he actually cares about people. He's very compassionate and concerned about people. And though he led people astray, he's learning the lesson. And so good job. You guys follow Michael's example for the most part, okay? I'll be like 90% follow his example in how he reacted after the fact. But you can see he was all in, all in. Then we have the song, okay? I'll play with you a clip of the Rapture song that was getting a decent number of views. But I'll show you in a second why I'm sharing this with you. First off, this is an AI song. If you guys aren't aware, AI music is really advanced now. AI music it's kind of weird how advanced it can be, but this is an AI produced rapture song.
Angels on standby, clouds breaking wide, glory light flash, we taking for the ride, no sleep, no snooze, gotta stay in your way, cause the thief in the night, don't give no mistake, my mighty Lord, my good Lord, will you open the door, on September 24, please, Jesus, open the door, yeah. Midnight cry, the bridegroom arrives,
yeah. Only the ready ones enter inside. Literally AI, just AI. So there's a comment on this video that says, who's here because of Brother Joshua? 1,100 likes on a video that has just under 100,000 views. That's really significant. Brother Joshua stands behind this stuff, okay? He's the trigger of this rapture craze. And he is, well, here's a guy that got inspired by Brother Joshua. And I can see how very sincere he is, but he's got to go to his church leadership. He's got to sit under them and say, how did I get this so wrong? Please help me. I need to recover from the spiritual deception that I not only fell into, but that I pushed others into.
It freaked me out. It blew my mind because I couldn't believe I was actually getting visions from the Lord. It was so freaking cool to be able to witness that. So I truly believe Joshua is the one that is supposed to announce the return of the King of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is coming back September 2025, guys. I believe he's coming back in 6 days. How crazy is that? So don't let the mockers and scoffers get you down. I know even the mockers and scoffers come from the body of Christ.
This phrase, mockers and scoffers, constant in this circle. They just blanket slander everybody who disagrees with them as if they're mockers and scoffers. I'm not a mocker. I'm not mocking you guys. I'm not a scoffer. I have some fun with Malakala, but that doesn't make me a scoffer. I believe in Jesus' return. I believe in the bodily resurrection of the saints, and that we will be transformed. Those of us who are alive and remain when he returns, we will be transformed into our new glorious bodies and will ever be with the Lord. 100%. Most Christians believe this, right? I should say all Christians believe this. Most. All Christians believe this. But what you guys did was you set a date, and then you acted like your date, what belief in your date was belief in Jesus himself. Belief in your date was faith in the resurrection or in the appearance of Christ or in the translation of our bodies. And that's not true at all. So you call us mockers and scoffers, but this is a cult-like brainwashing language to get you to ignore everybody who's trying to bring you back from the edge, who's trying to draw you back to the truth.
And it's all right, man. Don't let them steal your joy. I believe Jesus is coming back. And again, I'm confirming that Joshua is a true prophet of the Lord, that the Lord sent him. Hallelujah. All right, guys, I can't wait to see you in the sky. 6 more days. Get excited.
I wonder if anybody watched this video and then made disastrous life consequence choices because of it. Because they were like, well, I was on the fence, but then I saw this guy and he's so excited and he's confirming and oh, he's so sincere. And I believe Joshua too. And I'm going to sell my house so that everybody around me knows I really saw this coming. And they knew that they'll know Jesus is real. And then when we're gone, you know, there was an Uber driver who someone handed them all their cash that they had, big bundle of cash and coins, big bundle like this big, just bundled up cash, handed it to the Uber driver because they said, we're getting raptured. And we prayed and we knew God would want us to give it to the Uber driver, whoever picked us up. They were delusional. They were mistaking their visions, their dreams, their own desires for the will of God, or worse, something from Satan. Those are the only two options that there are. That Uber driver made a video mocking them, thanking them for their money and mocking them. And they deserved it. In this case, again, I'm not a mocker, scoffer, but they did deserve to be mocked. Because what they did was mockworthy. That's, you got to take that on the chin, guys. You got to go, wow, I can't believe. Why do you have to take it on the chin? For the big reason that you never do it again. The big reason that you learn the lesson. Because otherwise, I'm telling you, I've been around long enough. I've seen this stuff enough to know you will fall into it again. You will move from one false leader to another false leader, one weird community online group that's following delusions and the direction of the enemy, to another one that's following it as well. Because you just get addicted to that high. You can see it on his face, that high. You get addicted to that. And you no longer care for accountability and truth. So I'm warning you. Go to a local church, sit under the leadership and say, how did I get this wrong? Help me figure it out. I got to learn these lessons. And if your church led you down astray, get out of that church.
Which is why this year, 2025, I'm going to reveal a lot of things. The Christians really, really want to persecute me. They really, really want to stone me now. People have rejected me, friends, no one. I have no one right now because of the nature of this message that I carry. Oh.
These ladies are so annoying. They are just, they're the fakest people on YouTube. But they're the ones that initially like platformed Joshua to do his stuff, and they platformed multiple others. And they actually don't take a position on this stuff. They're doing it to get views. They're doing it like as a business to get views and stuff. So it's terribly irresponsible. I think they're driven by, well, it looks like they're driven by money. But there's this guy who's sitting there and he's telling you everything you need to know, right? He's telling you, Christians have been telling me I'm wrong. Everybody in my life tells me I'm wrong. Everybody tries to tell me I'm getting this wrong, and he won't listen to anyone, not even the believers in his life. But these ladies, these opportunistic ladies, will bring him on their channel and let him spew his nonsense to 300,000 people. How did this happen? Well, it's obvious. Reckless, arrogant, people who won't listen to correction, others who are deceived by the enemy or deceived by their own hopes because they've not been taught to discern the difference between their own desires and the leading of the Spirit. And they think, if I get really excited, then that must be confirmation from the Spirit, things like that. Others who saw things that they don't know, can't unpack why. Like, I don't know. I looked at the verse. I looked at this thing. I saw a license plate and I saw so many coincidences. I thought God was confirming it to me. And maybe you need to raise up your standards for what you consider confirmation from God, because somehow you've been involved in a church culture that has lowered those standards so that confirmation from God can just be any old thing.
So my son Daniel spelled out to me that he had had a rapture dream, and in his dream he said that we went up to heaven.
The dreams of children are actually a really big thing. This is a modern phenomenon. I don't think this would have existed even before TV, actually. Maybe I'm wrong here. My theory. The dreams of children being the confirmation of what God is doing, I don't think would have been as strong before the invention of TV. I think we've romanticized childhood and children. The Bible says, like, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him. In your understanding, do not be like children, right? We're to have childlike faith. That's different, not childish faith, but realistically, kids, by comparison to adults, kids are gullible, highly influenced, easy to deceive, prone to exaggeration and lies, seeking approval more than honesty and truth and things like that. Like, that's kids. That's the way they are naturally. So these kid dreams came out all over the place. They were seen as very powerful. Obviously, they were not true. This is important. There are some watching this right now who are really upset with me, who are thinking, Mike, you're wrong. Those dreams were real. The rapture is going to happen. Or maybe it did happen. It was an invisible spiritual rapture. That's what one false prophet tried to say back in the day, one of the most recent rapture disasters of our country. That person needs to know, like, you know, you're wrong. Like, you're still deceived. You're still caught up in deception and deceiving others. That you've got to learn the lesson here. You need to throw all that stuff away. You thought your kid had a dream? You were being deceived. You're being deceived. This guy gets it. Who is this? Some of you recognize him. Penguin Zero is a very popular YouTuber. Does, like, a lot of commentary and stuff like that. I don't think he's a Christian. I don't know. Okay, but my impression is he's not a believer. That's what I'm going to operate under, that assumption. He made a video, and within 23 hours, it got over 2 million views talking about this rapture stuff. I want you to know it is widespread all over TikTok. It is in a lot of people's lives. It has damaged a lot of people. Okay, it's pretty significant how far-reaching it's gotten. You may not know. We're all in our bubbles. It's a big deal. Look at his response. I'm telling you, this non-believer has better theology than every believer I've showed you so far.
We made it. We survived the rapture. Today, it was prophesied by one guy and latched onto by a lot of TikTok that a lot of people were going to be raptured today. And it looks like, if you can believe it, that's not happening.
Surprise.
And that's because no one would ever be able to predict the rapture. It is literally written in the Bible that no man would be able to predict when Jesus would be coming back. Yet, for some reason, people still take just Goober's word that this is the real rapture, and they end up, like, ruining their life preparing for it. It's craziness.
Everything he said was entirely accurate and true. Everything, especially Goober's word. That's exactly right. Thank you for that, Penguin Zero. Thanks, man. Appreciate that your theology is more solid than the Christians who fell for this stuff. How did I know so confidently and been able to speak for the last 3 weeks now that this was not going to happen? Because I know Scripture. And I was able to show you guys the abuse of Scripture. Now, what they would have told you, the people who are supporting the rapture, like this lady here, like these people right here, they would have told you, don't listen to Mike, don't watch his videos. Most of them would have said this, you know, because I'm a scoffer and mocker to them, because that's the brainwashing they got. Now we're going to the live stream. Okay, this is the 12-hour live stream. I'm going to play a bunch of clips from this. I want you to see how excited they were. I want you to see some of the false teaching things, weird stuff. Like, Brother Joshua gives us his description. He says he can see demons and tells us what the Grim Reaper looks like in detail. Is that not enough red flags for you? But we're going to go into this in detail because you have to, in hindsight, learn the lessons. Do not lose hope if you believed in the rapture and you're here now going like, I am devastated. Slow down. This is a temporary dark season in your life. You totally can overcome this. I just want you to learn the right lessons. I want you to get involved in local church. Many of you are not even part of local churches, and that has to change. Get involved in local church. Go to the leadership. Tell them what happened. Ask for their help. You will recover. You will be stronger than ever. You'll be wiser than ever. You will be better than ever because of all this stuff that has happened to you. But you have to learn the lessons. So stick with me here. But this lady, Heather, I hope that she does that too. I hope she becomes wiser than ever. If I ever met her in person, I wouldn't hold it against her. I would have a lot of hope that, hey, Heather, she's learned the lessons. She's repented. But I got to know her face, because what if she didn't and she comes out again in the future? That I need to know her track record for the sake of the safety of the body of Christ. Look at the excitement as they begin their 12-hour stream. They're thinking, we're going to be live on camera and we're all going to get raptured. And this stream will then go viral around the world because it'll be evidence that we were right. And then people will then put their faith in Jesus. It's such an elaborate deception, really. Trading on all their real hopes and trusts in Christ with a lie that takes center point and becomes the foundation of those things. It's really dangerous stuff. But look at how excited they are.
No matter what, know that we're going home.
There's no anxiety. There's no fear.
That's Brother Joshua again. No anxiety, no fear. He does this a lot where when he doesn't know what to say, he just talks about how confident and peaceful he is.
There's no doubt. Yeah. I'm experiencing a lot of peace today. That's how I'm feeling. And how are you feeling?
Excited, like beyond what words can express. You know, what words can express cannot. I can't even speak. You know, I just know.
Can't even speak. I just know. How excited are they? What are the concerns? This is the Great Exodus 2025 12-hour live stream. Let's watch a bunch of clips.
I'm doing fabulous. I am so excited. And as you can tell, we're going to watch the sun. Well, maybe not. We're going to watch the sun come up in California behind me. My heart is just, it's racing. Of course, it's exciting. But I can feel the joy of the Lord.
You can see how thrilled they are. Like, this is genuine. These aren't just a bunch of liars. That's not the case. There's deceptions they're believing and there's deceptions they're propagating. But this stuff's complicated. People will fall for false religious beliefs. And there's a sense in which they're sincere. And sometimes they've lied to themselves, but they're lying to themselves about how they lied to themselves. So, you know, they could pass a lie detector test a lot of the time. This is total excitement for these things. I feel terribly sad for my sister here who was deceived. And I hope she learns a lesson, and I won't hold it against her if she learns the lesson.
Watch the sun come up or the sun come get us.
We see that we're in that day. We see that day approaching. We're all trying to encourage one another.
I'm going to move my face again. The guy on your screen right now who's talking, he's right where my face just was. This guy has doubled down. He's still telling people, even after it didn't happen, that it's going to happen and don't lose heart and he's confident and all that.
We're all trying to encourage one another. We can't wait to see our Lord Jesus Christ get new glorified bodies. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, he's still going. So you have to remember this guy's face, okay? Right, with the tats and the hat. You got to remember that guy's face. He's still going. He's still predicting another rapture. Oh, it's delayed. I'll get into that later. People still predicting the rapture. It's disastrous. It's an ongoing, continuing disaster.
A couple of years ago, God gave me in a dream. He showed me in a vision the rapture happening. And when I tried to remember what time it was, the time of day, I think it was about close to, or it was sunset, let me see. So when the rapture timing happened, and I specifically was here in South Africa.
Okay, it was hard to hear what he said there. I've listened to it several times, I'm confident. And if you listen to what he says after that, it's confirmed. He's saying sunset in South Africa, he had a dream that God showed him when the rapture was going to happen. It was going to happen at sunset in South Africa, his time. Now, that time passes during the live stream. It goes by, and he does not return to this, to my knowledge. He just does not come back to this dream. They just sort of start acting like it didn't happen. This is significant. because that is when you realize that the level of commitment you have is causing you to ignore the red flags that are in front of you. So during the live stream, early in the live stream here, he's talking, oh yes, I had a dream about the timing. And that's what they're all excited about. Well, he goes way past sunset during the live stream. In fact, it goes up until it's midnight in Joshua's time. And then the live stream just abruptly ends. It just is over. I don't know if he edited some portion out. It looks like it just suddenly ended. And all I can think is, duh, you should have known this. You should have known this. We all knew this. And we're faithful believers in Jesus and we knew this. You didn't know this because you got caught in a deception. I want you to come out of it. I want to give you all a hug and be like, I'm so glad you're out of this thing. But you've got to learn the lessons. And the lessons are, I was under a great spiritual deception. It was not an example of wonderful faith in Jesus. It was an example of faith that was turned away from Jesus onto lies. This is a preview of what we'll talk more about later. This is a guy who, okay, after the live stream's over, the 12 hours is over, and people start worrying. A lot of people are saying, hey, this wasn't true. It was a lie. And one of the most honest guys was Medic for Christ, Michael, who was like, yep. He posted on social media, and then he made a video just today. I think it was today. Maybe it was last night. Where he was like, I got it wrong. I'm deleting my channel. I'm getting rid of all the stuff. I was wrong. I'm so sorry. And I agree with most of what he said in the video. This is the response from people to show you it's not over. They're not. This rapture disaster is ongoing. Listen to Mr. Boy here.
Hold the line.
Oh. There's a whole video that comes after that I must have moved. I already set it up. Let me just go there. It's over here.
We religious psychosis, we have it. I have it. I have religious psychosis, but it's not psychosis. It's because the Holy Spirit flows in me. I am drunk in the Holy Spirit right now.
No, you're not.
We have given our lives to Christ, and with that comes taking up your cross. So do not put down your cross, Michael. Malume, Joshua. Malume. Malume, stay strong. We can all see your eyes in that live. We can all see everybody in that live. We saw the hope in your eyes dim down. Bring it back. We love you. We support you.
I'll show you the end of the live stream. This is actually how it ends. They're just sitting there. They're all listening to music at this point. This is how it ended. Because all the times had passed. The appointed times, the times he said, God speaking to me, Joshua said it. They saw this. And so now there are people who are going, hold the line.
I have it. I have religious psychosis.
You do, but you don't understand. Like, that was actually more true than what you thought. Okay, more clips from the live stream. Here's some stuff that I think is important. I actually don't remember what this clip is. Let's just play it.
So remember Joshua saying that we're looking at two windows.
Oh, okay. This is starting to offer early in the live stream calculations of like, when is it going to happen approximately? And there's two windows that they offer. Now, Joshua had said, promised in the name of God in a stream that he had just done on the Sent Twins, the strange, weird twins on their YouTube channel. He had done a stream there and he promised in the name of God that he would be raptured personally in his time zone in Johannesburg, South Africa on the 23rd, not the 24th. Other people would be on the 24th, like in California or whatever. So he had promised in the name of God. Now later he backtracks that and he acts like it was just something he thought would happen. A total liar. But listen here as Michael tries to lay out what they think is going to happen.
So remember Joshua saying that we're looking at two windows, okay? We're looking at 11:36 my time, New York time, which is in like 10 minutes now, 8 minutes, something like that. We're looking at that because that's sunset in Jerusalem. That is our first window. Okay.
Do you remember I made a video, a short, when sunset in Jerusalem happened, because I knew that was what they were looking at.
If that one passes, we're looking at midnight in Jerusalem, which between the 23rd and 24th, which would be 5:00 p.m. my time on the East Coast. And it would be 2:00 on Jack's on the West Coast.
So midnight, so sunset or midnight in Jerusalem, this is on the 23rd when he's talking.
Okay. Now, remember, even if, which I don't think it's going to happen, but even if that date passes, technically, we're still in the window of possibility till 6 a.m. on the 24th. Because up until 6 a.m., all time zones are still on the 23rd and 24th. Okay. 6 a.m. tomorrow, you go into 7. Now we've got some time zones that have moved into the 25th, at which point we're outside the window. Okay.
I don't have a whole lot to comment on this right now, except just to say there's absolute genuineness here. Okay. These people really believe. I want us all to just remember this. Your sincerity, your religious sincerity, your Buddhist, your Hindu, your rapture predicting, your religious sincerity does not matter if the things you're believing are not true. Truth matters actually more than sincerity. I have to have sincere beliefs in the truth or it doesn't work. I don't stand before God as a right human being. Now, I think these people still believe in Jesus, so I'm not saying that they're not right with the Lord, but they're dangerously off, dangerously and harmfully off, as is obviously true.
So technically, we have until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. We're still in the window, okay? But obviously,
is that EST?
We're not, huh?
Is that EST, 6 a.m. EST?
Yeah. Eastern Standard Time, yep.
Okay, so that's the timeline they're working on. Now you can see how things will start shifting later on. And they're feeling pretty optimistic still at this point. And the reason why we have to look at this, do this autopsy, is because, again, it's not about gossip. These people put themselves out on social media. The BBC was like, we want to use your stream for, I don't know what they're going to use it for, if they were going to stream it somewhere else or just point to it or something. But like, they put themselves out there as loud and big as possible, deliberately doing it. We have to do this autopsy, and it has to be, this is important, this is a philosophy of mine, Christians have to correct Christians so that the world can see that there are sane, reasonable, faithful believers out there, not just kooks. It has to be the Christians who correct the Christians.
I'm writing it down, man. Y'all write it down out there too, because don't lose hope. There's a little bit of wiggle room here, so don't lose hope. Don't get discouraged.
That guy who says there's a bit of wiggle room, he thinks there's a lot of wiggle room because it's been days now and he's still saying it's going to happen, and he's upset with those who are denying it.
You know, I give you 1,000,000,000%.
He is such an arrogant punk. That's a correct, if I was going to say it's a biblical terminology, it's a correct usage of the term arrogant punk. This is Joshua. I want you to watch his face knowing he's never heard from God. He's never seen God. He looks around. He sees a bunch of NPCs. He's excited because he comes on. He's a South African, and all of a sudden, all these Americans are like excited to see him. Why is Joshua not in front of a congregation of his friends and family? Why is he not in front of the church that he leads? Because he would have had a reputation of being a true man of God in South Africa. He doesn't have one. He's a dude online who said crazy stuff and it went viral. And now he's just riding the wave. So here he goes.
You know, I give you 1,000,000,000% that.
He's also unintelligent. Like, who thinks 1,000,000,000% is a profound statement? It's like a kid who's like, my dad could beat up your dad 50 billion times. It's like that. He's not an intelligent man. I want us to take a look at this guy and recognize it only worked. It's like it only worked because he has an accent and because he talks slow. And I don't understand. I can only conclude that Satan himself was involved in this deception to try to embarrass the church, embarrass Christianity. I don't understand how this guy pulled it off. I don't think he understands how he pulled it off either. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he has. I think he's just like, wow, this is crazy.
This day, we will be raptured. I give you my word. I'll start by saying, I give you his word and I give you my word.
Liar, deceiver, satanically inspired man. Currently, Joshua's followers are making videos, the ones who are still part of his cult-like mentality. They're making videos going, Joshua's still right, guys. Guess what? We've just realized that the calendar calculations were wrong. We were looking at the Julian calendar, and that's not the right calendar to use. No, the biblical calendar is this other calendar. So we're going to go to the other calendar, and it's October 6th and 7th. Those are the dates. They're literally making videos. Joshua was right. October 6th and 7th, those are the new dates. I want you to listen again to what he just said. That is not a possible interpretation of this satanic liar's words.
That this day we will be raptured.
This day, not on a specific calendar day. I give you God's word, this day will be raptured. And they weren't. That's it. Game over. Game over, man. All right.
The trumpet. So in one way, the Amir Safari is kind of right in that regard, that it's not about the trumpets.
Oh, so this was, let me set this up. Amir Safari, I think that's, you know, I don't know Amir personally, but he probably wouldn't even recognize me, but I was on an Israel trip with him in 2006 when I was in the part of the school of ministry, and he was a very good guide for the Israel trip at the time. But he wrote a thing, and I don't know all of his current beliefs and teachings and stuff like that, so I have no comment, but he wrote a thing about how these rapture predictions were wrong because in Israel, this is later in the video, right? They had just blown the trumpet that these guys were all waiting on. They thought, well, when they blow that last trumpet, we're all going to be gone. So now they're trying to figure out how to spin, how to reinterpret the prophecies so that it can still work. So I want you to see this happen in real time. This is what it looks like when you try to reinterpret the prophecies when it fails.
The trumpet. So in one way, the Amir Safari is kind of right in that regard, that it's not about the trumpets as far as pieces of trumpets, what man's doing, but God's trumpet, who he's going to play for us.
Exactly. God's trumpet, not this one.
God's trumpet, not. Oh, well, yeah, we were all just sitting here talking about man's trumpet this whole time. We were waiting on it. We're looking at sundown in Israel. We're looking, well, it just passed. And the last trumpet was blown and nothing's happened. So now they go, well, that's not God's trumpet. God has his own trumpet and we're not going to go off of that trumpet. But that's not what you've been saying this whole time. See, if you'd said that the whole time, it'd be fine. You're changing it now. This is where people are starting to get nervous. People are starting to get concerned, and they should be. They should have been a long time ago, but they should be. That's a healthy thing.
Guys, this is part of the that Red Sea moment. You know, the children of Israel complained to Moses, like, why did you bring us out here just to die?
Yeah.
I believe
that gave him something to hold on to, didn't it? That's a true moment. Red Sea, yeah, they were right up there against the sea. They're like, the Egyptian army's coming in. They're going to kill us. We're about to die. And then at the last moment, God rescues them and then destroys the Egyptians. That's true. Except the difference here is their Red Sea never parted. So it wasn't really a Red Sea moment. This was actually just them starting to get nervous, properly so, because the things they had been told, now Joshua's recalculating. He's changing. He's like, oh, yeah, no, God's trumpet. Thank you, sir. That's a good point you brought up there. God's trumpet. We'll go with that one. The people who are waiting on the rapture at this point have genuinely confused their faith in Jesus with their faith in the timing of Jesus' return being the Feast of Trumpets in 2025. And that's why they don't think, maybe we were wrong about the date. They're thinking, hold fast to your faith in Jesus, as if just believing in Jesus is believing in this date. There's a conflation of these two things, even though Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour.
This is correlated. So, yeah, let's not lose hope, guys.
Yeah, I don't really pay much attention to those dudes. Just because I know that would just mess with my head, and I don't need to be doing that because I know what the Lord told me.
So I was blocking somebody again, but that was the redhead guy. He's like, I don't even listen to those guys. I include this clip because I want you to understand that's the mentality. It's like, you can't listen to them. You can't even receive what they have to say. And it just keeps getting worse.
I guess many of us expected that the Lord was going to come earlier in the day. And I thought about it. And, you know, I said to Shelley, who was on the channel earlier, I don't know why I thought that, because in all the passages that Jesus talks about this, he says the midnight hour.
Yeah, at midnight.
The third watch.
Okay, I just want to point out that you thought he would come earlier in the day because of the Israel timeline and the blowing of the trumpets and all those things. Those were actually things that were said. And I get now that, you know, Michael's just starting to kind of like, he's wrestling, he's spinning, he's on live on camera. This is like the worst way to find out something like this. The guy below him, the dude below him, the older gentleman, he's Daniel Botha, I'm pretty sure is his name. He's a singer, South Africa. I don't think he's well known, but Not that that matters, but he's one who continues to double down. He just made a video talking about how it's still, Joshua was right. It's still true. It's still true. And you're going to see why he believes that when I play a clip of him talking about how he will never listen to anybody who disagrees with him on this, which is to choose delusion.
Yeah, he says, "I'll come as a thief in the night," right? So he references, he says that, bring extra oil because he may tarry. Yeah.
So you can see this, it's the new interpretations. How come you didn't know he would come at the last possible second the whole time? Why were you like, okay, it'll come around this time. It'll be like 11:34 p.m. in whatever time zone it was. Oh, it'll be before sundown. Okay, it'll be before midnight in Israel. And now it's like, well, no, it'll come at the last possible second. Let's find the last possible second. The reinterpretation comes because it wasn't true. Movements that lean on prophecy, which are significant movements that lean on prophecy. This is a general rule for all of them, I think. You have to write down the prophecies or, you know, keep record of them so that you can find out if they really came to pass. And if people are starting to reinterpret the prophecies, you have to run away from that place as fast as you can. An example is Mike Bickle and IHOP KC. The IHOP movement was based upon a bunch of prophecies. They have what they actually call their prophetic history. Mike Bickle would edit the prophetic history when things didn't happen like they had been prophesied. There was a prophecy that his brother Pat would be healed and that would trigger this massive revival. Well, after his brother Pat died, never got healed from his paraplegia, then they just deleted those things from the tapes. We cannot play games with this stuff.
My friend, there is no other way. Jesus is coming. Just like he said, 20.
I want you to really think for a moment as you watch this. Look at how confident and joyful and happy this dude is. It's magnetic. It's just the way he talks. You're like, dude, I like this guy. I want to hang out with this guy. He's so joyful. It's contagious. Totally deceived. Self-deceived. Intentionally self-deceived. You'll hear it in his own words.
23:24. He will show up for us even in the last second. The Lord is surely coming. I'm telling you that. I know it. I don't think so. I don't hope so. I don't see so or something. I am telling you, he is coming for sure.
He's still saying it. He's changed. It's not 23:24. It's different dates now. But he's still saying it. Just made a video. Still saying it.
But after seeing Jesus, it's like my eyes were opened. I could also literally see demons.
And now you get to see behind the curtain of Brother Joshua being really creepy and obviously fake. I've noticed this. A lot of the fake prophets and fake guys, they will actually start borrowing from TV shows and movies and pop culture to try to invent spiritual experiences because they got to get it from somewhere. So he does it here. Should play in a second here.
And I know some people are going to say, yes, we said it. You know, he must have seen a different Jesus because here he's saying he's seen demons. But honestly, I would be walking or I'll be being around people that I know and I would see demons on them.
This is a peek behind the curtain. Brother Joshua Malakala, he sees demons and has experienced people telling him, Christians telling him, you are not seeing the real Jesus. And one of the evidences is that you seem to have your visions and revelation things focused on demons. And that just seems wrong. And he's like, no. And then he goes on to be like, I'm going to tell you about the demons I saw. And why not tell you about the Grim Reaper?
So one day when I saw him, I saw, if you all know the if you see on television, the Grim Reaper.
Yes, yes, yes. I know.
I saw literally the Grim Reaper, you know, on him. And the Lord told me that the enemy wants to kill that young man. I know.
Like, at what point do you start going, uh-oh, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into here? Surely it's difficult to admit it on a live stream, but But my goodness, I'm going to put myself a little off camera so you could just see the reactions to this. I think it's important we recognize there are churches where cult-like mentalities are happening. There are cults, just straight-up cults, false religions, where things are said all the time and people ignore the red flags and they smile and nod and they just keep going. Let me get this playing again for you. There's a delay because it's taxing my computer a lot.
I know demons. I can sense them. I can feel them. I see them. I can even give you more details about the Grim Reaper. The black sort of cloak thing that he wears is not a literal cloth. You know, it looks like a cloth, but when you come close to it, it's like black smoke. I don't know. It's like a darkness that is alive. It's like,
you know.
Yeah, we know. You're pulling from Lord of the Rings. It's the Balrog. We know what you're doing, man. We know what you're doing, you liar. The guy goes, they're asking him about the rapture and they're excited about it. And he just likes telling stories and having people think he's amazing. So he just goes randomly. He's like, I see demons. Let me tell you about the Grim Reaper. And a guy interrupts him. I cut it out in the middle of his story about the Grim Reaper, tells him all this stuff. And he goes, And about the Grim Reaper, his cloak is like this. People, it's a red flag I've learned over time. When you have someone who's too good of a storyteller and they're talking about all their visions and dreams and all that, it doesn't mean they're false. But it is like, hey, do you just like telling stories? Is that what's happening here? So let's go to the next clip. This is actually kind of a longer section to get into here. Told you guys today's video is going to be long. But hey, autopsies take a while, and we're going to autopsy this thing. We're going to learn from it. We're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. And anybody on this screen here, anybody who's caught up in it, I hope the best for you. I pray for you to be delivered from this delusion truly so that you can stop and you can go back to leaders in your church and say, help me through this. What did I get wrong? Help me undo the things that are in me that allowed me to fall down this path so it'll never happen again. And I can be a strong, faithful follower of Jesus who will not embarrass the name of Christ.
The rapture of the church will take place on the 23rd. I see there are already videos there out there saying the 23rd, the rapture has not happened. So, but we are still on the 23rd. We are still on the 23rd.
Yes.
On the 23rd, yes. And the 24th, the rapture, yeah, of the church will take place.
Okay, at this point, there's plenty of people who are not on the 23rd anymore, and there's about to be pushback. Michael, who's the guy in the top middle there, he's going to actually ask a really hard question, and I'm stoked that he did this. Good for you, Michael. I know you're working through this, but I have respect for you, even though I know you fell for this, and but I think you have a great chance of really recovering. And I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to say that. But check it out. He's like, oh, it's going to happen. And they're laughing at people who are doubters. They're mocking and scoffing at the people they call mockers and scoffers. And then a good question gets asked.
So, brother, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is officially 12:04 in the morning in Jerusalem on the 24th. So it's officially the 24th in Jerusalem. So what are your thoughts? Because I know that when we've discussed this prior, you were pretty convinced that we wouldn't be at this place yet. So what are you thinking right now?
He's busted, okay? Michael's being very gracious to him, overly gracious to him. He promised in the name of God. This wasn't just like he thought it would happen around that time. Others like Michael or others, they were like, I don't know, it'll be maybe in this window, but he was more confident. Brother Joshua, who's the start of the trigger of this whole thing, he had said it straight up. So now he's got to start responding. So look at how he reacts to being asked the obvious question.
So, yes, those two times, 6:30, there's a noise.
Yeah. Oh. I skipped it.
Just those 2 days. Let me say those 2 times. 6:30. There's a noise somewhere.
There's a noise somewhere. Is there? Can a noise save me from having to answer this question? You will find he gets very easily distracted whenever he's being confronted with his lies.
Yeah.
I think that's you, Lewis. I'm going to mute you for a second. Go ahead, brother. What did you say?
Okay. I'm saying those two times, as I would say, 6:30, you know, or 6:36 Israel time and midnight Israel time, were my two watch times.
My two watch times. No. You said something bigger than that. Watch times, but they've both passed. They've both passed now. Both those watch times have passed. Now his credibility is waning because he didn't say things with less confidence. It was like every word out of my mouth is from God. That's what he was saying on the Sent Twins podcast.
You know, but me, where I am now, it is 11:05. You know, I'm still hopeful. I have 55 minutes
because he promised in the name of God he'd be raptured on the 23rd in his time zone in Johannesburg. He's got 55 minutes. Well, that time runs out. It runs out. Nothing happens.
You know, to go, I myself. So, yes, I was watching the time of Israel because since I know the Lord always looks at Israel when he does things, but I'm still at the 20.
What does that mean? He always looks at Israel when he does things. This is not permission for you to make guesswork and prophecies and predictions based upon that idea. That you're being reckless. You're going way beyond your knowledge when you do stuff like that.
So I have about 54 minutes now, you know. So I'm still on the 23rd, so I don't have much thought because I'm waiting to be raptured.
I don't have much thought, meaning I'm not going to answer your question. I'm not going to think about that.
Now, that said, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of folks who are feeling not so good right now. What would you say to them?
He will never answer this question. I'm going to play it for you. It's grueling. Takes a while. He will not answer the question. Joshua doesn't care about those people. Michael does. Joshua does not care about those people. They're NPCs to him. They're just fun characters in a video game he's playing. He's going to ride this thing out while he can. And then he has not, to my knowledge, said a word since this stuff has happened. Supposedly he was going to go on do a live stream. I haven't been able to find it. It was supposed to happen today. Today's over in his time zone. So I don't know.
Okay, Mike, feeling not so good.
Like worried, distressed, anxious, afraid.
I don't know what.
Based on what? Based on the amount of hours left until we are off.
Well, because I think
he is now filibustering. He's going to act like he doesn't even understand the question. All of a sudden, he's like, well, English is my second language, you'll hear him say. He's just pretending to not understand. It's a classic technique of like, I don't understand what you mean. People are upset that my prophecy predictions have not happened yet, but I don't know what that means.
I think we were all looking at Israel, right? And now Israel's on the 24th. And so I think people are now, maybe some people might be losing hope in the message. And that's what I would wanted you to maybe address.
Okay. So I don't know if I get you, Mike.
I don't know if I get you, Mike. You're a scoundrel, Joshua. You're a wicked, wicked man. You're an evil man, and everyone should know your name. Joshua Malakala. You're an evil, disgusting, horrible, wicked man. You have perpetrated a terrible blow against the reputation of Christianity, and you've damaged a lot of individuals' lives because you thought it was entertaining to yourself because you're just so steeped in deception and darkness that you were willing to throw everyone under the bus because you enjoyed it.
I get you. I honestly don't know if I get you. So, but what I wanted to say was Israel for me was a possible high watch, but Israel is not the only time that I'm looking at. You know, I'm looking at it holistically.
Holistical. Again, now they're moving to October. And Joshua, who knows what he'll do next? He might later come out and tell everybody you're in the tribulation now. It's too late. We're all in the tribulation now. Because that's what he said earlier, was anybody who's still here after this, you're in the tribulation. But look, he will not answer the question. He will not offer hope and help to anybody. He doesn't want to admit the error.
You know, the different time zones of the world. So I'm going to, let me say, I'm going to refrain giving hope to someone who is not even out of You know, if everybody in the world right now is with...
What he's saying here is like, there's nothing to worry about. What are you talking about? Hope? Why would I even offer you hope when there's no reason to be worried?
In the time zones, you know, of the 23rd and the 24th, and nobody's on the 25th, you know? No, I don't think I want to give hope to such a person. I don't know. Am I giving hope to the panic that the time is getting smaller or closer to being over? I don't know. What am I giving hope to? I don't know. Maybe I don't understand your question, Mike, but...
No, I'm so confused. I'm just so... Maybe you could explain it again in simpler words. Like a five-year-old would have understood the question. You understood it. You can see the conflicted things going on in people's hearts and minds. One guy logged off. Some other people are, you know, the ladies actually seem some of the most constant and hopeful about this. And then of course, Daniel Botha, the singer, but, what a disaster. Can I say this? Like, it's okay. Like if someone says they have a prophecy, it's okay to ask them questions. Someone's like, God told me to tell you this. You can ask them questions. Well, why do you think that? And how would I know that? Like, that's okay to ask them questions. That's a safe and proper thing to do. And if they filibuster like this and act ignorant and confused, that's a red flag.
Well, I'm thinking that because we have all been looking at Israel, right? Israel is God's timepiece.
Michael's going to try to re-explain it. He already knows. Everybody in the room knows what this is. They're just going through the motions now.
Right. And so if we thought that God is going by Israel, and Israel has now shifted into the 24th, right? There might be some people are maybe thinking we missed the timeline because Israel is now on the 24th, right? Not on the 23rd. And for people that may be thinking that, what would you say?
That was all completely understood. Everybody knew that. He knew that. He's just pretending to be confused because he doesn't care about people.
Say to them. I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
Look at his dumb face.
So you're saying Israel is on the 24th?
Yes, they are now the 24th because it's past midnight for them.
Okay, so what am I speaking into? Because I don't know if maybe it's because English is not my first language, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. You guys see the same thing I see.
I did say in my last interview with the twins that... if I'm looking at the time zones, I see myself falling on to the 23rd. I did see.
Okay, this is a deception. He said way more than that. Again, he was like, everything, he said he would go on the 23rd. Then he says, everything I just said to you was not my words. They were the words of God. Now he's going, I did tell them that I saw myself as going on, like as if it was a softer thing, like an opinion.
Yes, that's what I said, you know, but...
And this is, I think, where Michael starts to go, oh no, because they've been following his stuff. And those who follow carefully, Michael seems to, I think he's going, he said it was God. He didn't just say he thought he would go on the 23rd. He said it was God. Why is he backtracking now? If he's right and confident, he should be like, I'm going before midnight. But no, he's like, now he's making space for more time. He's starting to realize this, and that's a healthy thing.
Me seeing myself falling on the 23rd, I don't think it then makes the date of the 24th fall away, you know, for me or for others.
Boom. This reveals something. It is still the 23rd for a little bit more. Like it's 11:50 or 11:20 or 11 whatever in p.m. in his time zone. And it's about to be over. This reveals something really significant. For him to say, just because I said the 23rd doesn't mean the 24th is off the table, but actually it does. That's exactly what that's the only thing it means. That's all. If it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean anything. And he said it was God. So now everybody in the room should know something about Joshua, brother Joshua. He knows he's lying. He actually knows he's lying, which is why at the last minute he starts pushing the date out. Now, what is he really trying to do? He's trying to keep the attention of the crowd. This is his video game. Get the attention of the crowd. Get the lauding of the crowd. Oh, I'm starting to lose them a little bit. Let me bend things a bit. You're being used by someone who viciously sees you as like an NPC.
since I got the revelation, and it and when Joshua said,
oh, this is so sad. This is so sad what you're about to hear.
23:24, and the explosion in my spirit, and I knew, when I knew it was true, Jesus is really, really coming. And when Joshua said, 100% doesn't do it for me, 4,000,000,000%. That explodes in my spirit. And ever since that day, I don't allow people around me, even my closest friends, my wife, to take a little gap to say, well, if the Lord doesn't come, or maybe if the Lord choose not to come. Now, of the
he feels that he senses the Holy Spirit. He obviously doesn't. He's just excited, and he thought that that was the Lord. Lots of people have made that mistake, especially when you're in a church environment where they're really not very careful about what is or isn't God. And so he just got excited, thought it was God. And now he will not let anyone, not his wife, no one, nobody can correct you on this. And they still can't correct him, because even though he was wrong, again, Daniel Botha has made another video saying, Joshua is still right. Don't lose hope. It's still happening. It's still going to happen, even though he's living a complete delusion land. Complete delusion. So sad. Please don't do this in the name of Jesus. At least be the member of a non-Christian religion and make a bunch of wacky, wild predictions and embarrass yourself in front of the world. Please don't do this as a Christian.
If anybody says that, you cannot believe how it hurts my ears. Because it's not hurting my flesh, it's hurting my spirit.
It's not hurting your spirit, you're just being weird.
Because Jesus can't lie. If he tells Joshua face to face, I'm coming. And I could see it in the spirit when I looked at him on the television screen, even if it wasn't the television screen, I saw it in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit confirmed it. He said, it's from me, it's true. And I knew the tribulation is starting and the rapture just before that.
One thing I've learned as I've looked into a lot of false prophets and fake stuff over the years, you just can't take people's sincerity or apparent sincerity as evidence. You need more than that. You know, like with the apostles, we had them clearly willing to suffer and die for their faith in Christ. We have multiple witnesses. We have the conversion of Paul. It's a different story than what you've got here. What you've got here is people making videos about, like, my kid had a dream, or I saw a license plate that had 923 on it. And so 923, so that's September 23rd. So God showed me. I saw a cloud, and there was an S in the cloud. And here's a picture of it. I know it doesn't really look like an S, but it trust me, it really did before I took the picture. You have a lot of this kind of stuff, but then it's like it builds. Then you have a guy who just says, like, I just knew it. I just knew it. And I won't let anyone believe anything else. And yet you were wrong. But he's not repenting. He's doubling down.
From that day, I don't allow anybody to speak anything negative about the coming of the Lord. Doesn't matter how sinister it is or how small it is. No negativity. The Lord is coming because he said he's coming, and he is coming.
I know this sounds like faith to some. All I see is pride. Why do I say that? Because faith is about faith in God's word, faith in Jesus. Pride is, I am so convinced of my personal discernment of the Holy Spirit, my excitement level confirming to me that I think God is speaking to me, that I will not listen to anybody. I don't care if it is my most trusted, God-loving, biblically grounded friend who says, can I show you in the scripture where I think you've gotten this wrong? I won't even listen. That's pride. That is arrogance. And you pay for it. Pride comes before a fall, and this is a big fall.
And it's coming 23:24. No matter what hour it is, anyway, Jesus will fulfill his promise to the letter.
Well, he was right about this. God never lies. Jesus never lies. So you lied, and Joshua lied, and other, or some mixture of lying and being deceived, but the things that were being said were not true. This is super simple. You just have to admit it, and then get up off the ground, dust yourself off, get involved in local church, ask the pastor, help me figure out why I got this wrong or how I got deceived here. Help me learn and grow. My life's not over. I want to honor the Lord more in the future.
The reason I've done all of this, I've put my neck on the line. I put everything on the line because I trust Joshua. I believe him. I believe him to this day. I believe he saw the Lord Jesus. And so that's why I'm here. And I still believe him.
Not anymore, I don't think. I hope not. I hope, Michael, that you don't. But this is, there's no audio here because they're playing worship music and it's all probably copyrighted, but they're just playing some music at the very end. Now everything is passing. You can tell there's the excitement's gone. Everybody's worried, but they're not necessarily going to admit it all the time. And Joshua doesn't care. He's just standing there like a reading chat, maybe. Thinking, what do I say now? I don't know. I feel like my magic spell's breaking in people's eyes. Aftermath. You have some people who have sincere apologies. Here's an example of a guy with a good apology. I want to highlight him. He predicted the rapture, and then he said this.
Yes, once again, my name is King Salim Igwe, and I'm here with all humility to apologize to everyone who have had me promote Brother Joshua's 23rd, 24th date of September rapture. Okay. I know I've received a lot of attacks from people for claiming that I have seen the date of rapture in the Bible according to Haggai 2 verse 18. I want to admit that was erroneous. I knew that scripture was not talking about the rapture, but to me, because I had a date, it sounded like it coincided.
That is beautiful that he said that openly and honestly. I really respect this guy's repentance here, his apology. It's straight. It doesn't make excuses. It doesn't go, well, at least we're faithful. We had faith. Misdirected faith is not something to be proud of. But when he highlights, I took a verse I knew was not about the rapture, but I talked about it like it was because it was confirmation bias. That is some major healthy self-awareness. Good job to you, sir. Good job. Thank you for doing that. And what you say next is also good.
I hereby detach myself from dates henceforth. I ask to be forgiven. I repent from every error about this. And I henceforth will no longer further promote this rapture narrative of dates, but I will keep promoting the coming of Jesus.
That's the kind of mentality that learns the lesson. You learn the lesson. Scripture never gave you this. This was not Christianity that made this happen. This was your wrong beliefs. The Bible actually told you, you don't know the day or the hour. You ignored that. You thought, oh, well, that means the Feast of Trumpets. It never did. Never did. Never did. Oh, that was the Hold the Line video. Look, this has been a disaster. Since the rapture predictions went forth, again, TikTok going crazy, people mocking Christianity or just mocking these particular individuals. Others, lots of Christians, people who at least in the name are Christians, whatever they really are, God knows, but they're like, the Bible's ridiculous. Forget all this stuff. And it's causing people to actually lose their faith. And then you have guys like Shervin Yousefian, who is a pastor. Shervin, his YouTube channel says he's a pastor, who made a video with his repentance, and it was bad. It was actually bad. He cannot humble himself in this regard. And I'm sorry, Shervin, you are publicly doing these things, so I'm publicly responding, okay? That's why. This is not a personal, private issue of any kind. I commented on your video. I commented on a lot of videos, people's videos. I told people, go seek out a local pastor. Go get involved in a local ministry, local church. You really need to be connected in those ways. But Shervin's video, he actually turns his repentance where he says, I apologize if I caused anyone harm, and then doesn't acknowledge the actual harm or doesn't say whether he caused them harm. Those are minimizing words that are not proper for apologies. I apologize if I caused you harm. What do you mean if? You made a bunch of people believe the rapture was going to happen and it didn't, and you messed up their faith. I asked Shervin, and I would ask this of anybody who's still delusional, you're still not on the humility side of things. You're still not on the repentant side. You're still not learning the lessons. My request to you is this. Find out the harm you caused. Look at it straight in the face. Know that the grace of Jesus is enough for no matter how bad it looks. His grace is enough for you. But you need to deal with it, take it on the chin. Shervin then, after briefly mentioning that, went on to say, "And I repent of every bad thing I've ever done. I repent of all the problems I've caused and all the times I've failed as a father or a son or a husband or a friend. I repent of," and it was just the most embarrassing, weird thing. This was terrible. Then he went for the rest of the video to guide the audience in repentance and saying that what God's doing from this rapture stuff is he's bringing a wave of repentance to the world. That's what was he was really doing. You're just trying to get spiritually on top of this thing so that you can still be like, I'm a good leader for you all here. And you need to stop. Down the road, maybe you could be that. Not right now. Not right now. So, yes, they're not done, guys. They're going to keep predicting the rapture. They're going to keep doing this stuff. It's not remotely done. It is not remotely done. So learn the lessons. That's why I did this autopsy, so you could learn the lessons. I pray that God gives you wisdom and you have the humility. And everybody in the audience, every face you've seen, every name you've seen, do two things with them. Last thing I'll say on this, and then I'm going to go to your questions from the live chat. Do two things with every face and name you've seen. Number one, please remember their faces and their names if you can, so that if you see them do it in the future, like Dr. Barry Ah, for instance, then you will know immediately to disregard that person. Oh, they're doing it again. Two, give them space to repent and change. If you see their face again, it doesn't mean that they're doing the same thing. Maybe they've changed. Then you could think, you could be like, thank you for that. I'm proud of you for that. Good job on that. You repented, and give them space to change. I have tremendous hope for you guys that you will change. But I know a lot of people aren't. So we got to do both those things. Remember your faces, give you space to change. That's what we got to do. Okay, I'm going to go to your guys' questions from the live chat, but I got to plug in the counter, which I forgot to do earlier. I do have legs, as everybody tells me whenever they see me in person. Oh, you have legs, Mike. I'm actually only 5'2", though. Is that true? Okay, question number two. That was number one, which was the autopsy on the rapture. Okay, number two, anonymous question. Is Adam and Eve's mortality a result of the poison in the forbidden fruit or the declaration of God in Genesis 2:17? Thank you. I love your ministry. Well, thank you very much. So let's go to the passage and let's look at it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Does that verse, let's just be real narrow here, does that verse give us any indication as to whether there is poison in the fruit or what the mechanism of their death will be? The fruit itself, or is it God's judgment upon them for eating the fruit? There is no indication in the verse. There's no indication that the fruit is let me put it more specifically. There is indication in the verse that the fruit is the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Okay. So there's an effect of eating the fruit. Now, is that because the action is I did something I wasn't supposed to do? Maybe the fruit had no special influence of any kind. And it was just I did an action. If the command had been don't touch that rock, then it could be the rock of the knowledge of good and evil because I just touched it. That's possible too. But after it happens in Genesis 3, the judgment comes as it seems to me like it comes as though it's a unique judgment of God in the moment. So Genesis 3, here's my opinion on this, and I'm open to changing it. And he says to the woman, did God, oh, this is Satan, of course. We're not looking to quote him at the moment. I think we did that earlier today. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Okay, so that curse is something that God does in the moment, and it has an effect as a result of what happened, even though the serpent didn't eat anything. Okay, so there's a non-fruit related effect that happens initially. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, that is Jesus, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Again, this is an action God is taking. It's multiplying the pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. It doesn't seem to be a result of the fruit, like a poison result. And then verse 17, to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Certainly the fruit could not have cursed the ground, right? the fruit, if it had like a poisonous element, you eat it, it's not going to affect the ground, but cursed shall be the ground. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles that shall bring forth for you. Fruit couldn't have done that directly. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So my theory would be that it was a divine act of God to bring about the results. It was not a poison in the fruit. Next question, number three, also anonymous. In Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel questions are always hard. Ezekiel is told to prophesy to dry bones and they come together, but he had to prophesy again for them to come to life. Do you think this is referring to two separate events? I'm just going to say, I don't know. They come together, then they come to life. Is the coming together the gathering of Israel? Is the coming to life like a spiritual revival in the land where they're turning to Christ? Perhaps those are two different events. That would work. A lot of prophecy is better understood in hindsight than foresight, and so it's not as easy to predict. Here's what I think this will look like, but it's often understandable. Oh, that was it because it matches perfectly. And we get into trouble sometimes when we try to predict what the prophecy will look like because there's so many possible variables. So we do get in trouble when we do that. As is obvious from this video that we've just done, but think about the first coming of Jesus for rapture predictors or second coming predictors. Oh, by the way, if you're in that, I encourage you, please go to the video description, and there's a link to a video I have there about six different end times views that Christians hold. So I cover a bunch of different end times views because you may not be aware, there's actually a big variety of different end times views. And it's humbling as a Christian to realize there's a variety of views and there's different reasons people hold them. And it just makes me go, I know I trust the word, but maybe my understanding of the scripture here is not as complete as I thought it was. Healthy for us to do. Go check that video out. And it's in the video, the link is in the video description. But yeah, so easier to find out after the fact. An example of this is Jesus. You know, he dies on Passover. He's examined by the high priest and stuff when they're selecting the Passover lambs. He dies on Passover. He's the one whose bones are not broken. He's got different criminals on his right and left. He's buried with the rich. He's risen on the third day. There's so many details that you know. This absolutely corresponds to biblical prophecy. Christ fulfilled biblical prophecy, no doubt about it. But if you were asked a year before the events to pull together the Old Testament prophecies and to construct your own version of events, you probably would have got it wrong, because it's easier to see in hindsight than it is to predict how it will play out in foresight. That's a healthy lesson to learn, and everybody predicting things in the future would be well to remember that and to know that actually the Jews' misinterpretations of what they thought Jesus was going to do, the Messiah would do, actually made it really hard for them to believe in Jesus, because they thought he was going to come and rule the Romans and take over and establish Israel as this superpower. Well, they were misconstruing his second coming with his first coming. They misunderstood and actually made it harder for them to receive Christ. Have humility. We know certain things about what God will do, and some stuff we're guessing, and we should just be honest about that. All right. Next question is Makayela Hole, who says, how can pastors balance honoring tradition with leading forward when influential members resist technology, new ideas, and change? That's a tough one. Whether we like it or not, we all become the old guard. And whether we like it or not, all the ideas that the young people have are not good. And sometimes the young people have ideas that are super exciting to them. And the thing is, the old person's like, we've already done that. Like, I've seen that, like, try like five times, and you want to do it and you're excited about it, but I'm telling you, this is not going to work. Other times they're just forward thinking and they're actually understanding something that you're not. So it's difficult to balance these things. I think the best thing to do for pastors is to try to let everyone have a voice at the table to try to listen and think and understand, be willing to experiment, but don't just change to change. Some pastors come in and they overhaul a church because they're like, we're gonna focus on the youth, and then they alienate all the older people as if they're not important. Because to be honest, to some pastors, young people are actually more valuable than older people. Like, they actually because of their agendas for growth of the church and stuff. And then they end up hurting the church. And oftentimes a pastor will come in, overhaul the church, do everything that he thinks the youth want. And then the church dies as a result. This happens a lot, actually. So instead, a pastor should probably look out and go, I need to minister to everybody here. So how do I integrate the generations, integrate the young and the old, and minister to them all, and seek to make changes that are positive and measured, and that I can get people on board for, and I can give them vision for, and that kind of thing. I mean, that's just generalities, but I hope that it helps to some degree. Let's go to the next question. Micah 6 through 8 is the name of the YouTube channel. I know I'm moving fast on the questions, but for obvious reasons, I've been going for like an hour and a half already. If all the gifts of the Spirit are subject to human fallibility, what is their true value for the church? Why would God tell us to eagerly desire them if they can so easily be misused or misunderstood? When you word the question like that, it sounds like a real dilemma, like a real like scary dilemma and disaster. But I don't think things are so dark as all that. First off, what you're suggesting is what is the implication of the question is that we actually need human infallibility in order to have safety in the church. What we have that's infallible in the church is the Word of God. We have that. As far as people, you cannot get around it. This is why you have to test the spirits, because not every spirit is from God. That's just reality. We're in a spiritual battle. We have to put on the full armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. That's an absolute reality. You are in a spiritual battle. Part of glorifying God and honoring Him is learning to navigate that discussion and that battle and learn what is right and what is wrong, to have our senses honed through use to discern good and evil, Scripture talks about. This is a healthy part of our growth. Now, if we were just instantly infallible in our gifts, in our use of whatever gifts God has given us, that would be, I guess it would require some sort of supernatural sanctification where God just goes, boop, you're perfect. That does not seem to be the agenda of God. And I think that there's a lot of goods that come into our lives as a result of struggling through these things. Some of these people who predicted the rapture, not all, some will learn such beautiful humility and simple trust in God's word and an awareness of where their reasoning starts and the clarity of God's word stops, that they will never make those mistakes again. And that hard-earned lesson will be very fruitful for them. It'll be good. It'll be healthy. And so there's goods that come out of even the messes that are made. And so I think that's a positive thing. So we should eagerly desire the gifts because they're from God, because they're fruitful, because they benefit people, because they're tremendously helpful to individuals. But we're not fallible, so we have to test them all. We have to measure them all. We have to take them against God's word. We have to have multiple Christians evaluating the things that other believers are doing. That's a healthy thing. And it's the only way forward. Number 6, Nathaniel Shaw. Hey, Mike, love your ministry. Thanks, Nathaniel. Any advice for someone raised Christian who professed and went to church but still lived a worldly and immoral lifestyle and has recently come to Christ in repentance? Well, my first thought would be, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There may be guilt and shame over the past, and that can be healthy to feel that, but my first advice would be, get grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ. That when He forgives you, you're really forgiven. When He wipes away your sins, they're actually wiped away. As far as the East is from the West, so far He's removed our sins from us because He nailed them to the cross and He took them upon Himself and He died for them and He rose again because He wants to forgive us and wants to restore us. My thought, if you lived a worldly and immoral lifestyle, there's a good chance there's still lingering worldly and immoral thoughts in your mind. And so get in the Word, read the Bible every day. Don't be presumptuous about it. Read it alongside other believers and learn from them and get involved in a good local church. And it may take time to find one. And maybe the first one you find wasn't, and you figure it out as you go, but get in the Word, get in good Bible teaching, get just saturated in this. If you just come back, you really could use a good season of like deep spiritual focus on things where you pray every day, you read the word every day, you're listening to Bible studies on a regular basis, and you're evangelizing and telling other people about Christ in a good way. So I think that's exciting. There's some thoughts there. Be humble, be teachable, know that you're going to get some stuff wrong and you're going to learn as you go. And so the only thing you can do to work through that and fix that is to just be humble and teachable as you go. There's some thoughts for you. All right, the next question is number 7, also anonymous. I go to a Calvary chapel and there are a lot of words given to people. They're not unbiblical, but seem sort of vague-like, like I'm not able to test them. Should I only accept if I can test it? That I don't want to give a totally black and white answer to this, but I'll say a few things here. So just so you guys know, also all 10 questions are in. I've got all the full questions for today. Next Friday, I'll do another Q&A. And next Friday, I want to focus on new believers, okay? New believers or people coming back, that kind of thing. That's next Friday. We want to focus on that. But the I've been part of Calvary Chapels, or was part of Calvary Chapels for many years. I was ordained as a pastor through Calvary Chapel. I was 13 years on staff. I think it was 13, give or take, on staff as a pastor, and have done a lot of stuff. Now, Calvaries are different. One Calvary is different than another. And in one Calvary, you might get more people going, I got a word for you, than you would in another one down the street. That this each church has its own kind of culture. But so how do you, when you get words from people, this means, for those who don't know, that someone comes up to you and they're like, I think God has told me to tell you something, or he's laid it upon my heart to tell you something, or he sort of showed me something that I need to tell you, a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or something, prophecy. You're getting a lot of, there's a lot of words be given to people in your local Calvary, and they're not unbiblical, which is good. Okay, that means they pass one test. They're not unbiblical, but they seem sort of vague, like I'm not able to test them. Yeah, I had this problem myself. There was a pastor who would give end of the year prophecy updates every year, which I'm not a fan of, to be honest. And at the end of the year, he'd give these prophecy updates. And one year I decided to write down what he said, and then in a journal, and the next year I would pull it out and I would check. Oh, when he does his prophecy update, I'll be like, how much did he get right? And as I started writing them down, I didn't even know this until I wrote it down. Like, I genuinely was unaware. As I started to write them down, I realized they were so vague that there was no way to test them. It's going to be a year of a lot of people realizing things. It's going to be a year of trials and tribulations, and it's going to help us set our eyes upon eternity. Like, that's true every single year. So there was these vague, statements and comments that I just didn't know how to even test. And so after I wrote them all down, I just stopped and was like, there's literally no way to test these things. So what do you do if you have a vague word and there's no way to test it? My thought is, if you're getting a lot of that, you just set it aside. You go, I'm getting tons and tons of vague words. I'm not going to put credibility in any of them. I have a lot of specific words in the Word of God, in the actual scripture. I'm going to put my credibility there. I think maybe I'm part of a culture that has developed this pattern. And maybe a better thing for that church to do is, instead of saying, I think God wants me to show you something, you just tell people things that are true about God. Now, the Lord loves you. I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. You don't have to say it was God. I just want to encourage you. God is with you, cares for you. He's got a plan for you and purposes for even the hard things you're going through. I can say all that because it's true. I don't have to say it was in the moment something God told me to say. There's my completely transparent response to that. Yeah. Number 8, Bradley Blake says, in light of the scripture that states not to forsake the gathering together, I'm concerned about that because I'm disabled, do not drive, and do not have consistent transportation to church. Advice? Totally not on the hook for this, Bradley. You're not. People are not. I'll give you an example. There's a scripture that says, if a man will not work, you know, he will not eat. This only applies to men who can work and are choosing not to. If a man is disabled, if a man is paraplegic, he has to be taken care of by others. Now, he doesn't like it. Nobody wants to be that. But that's the right thing to do, is for the community to come around and provide for them. I think you should make your efforts to try to be there, and you are not on the hook for not going in any way, shape, or form. Okay, you're making your efforts. You're trying to. You want to be there. You're not just, you know how it is. When you have anybody with a disability, there's sometimes opportunities you have to say you're not going to do something that you know you could do and should do, but no one will hold you accountable because they know you have a disability. So obviously, but I don't think that's your case. You're like, look, I don't drive. I don't have consistent transportation to church. You're concerned about it. It sounds like you want to go to church. So my advice is, make the efforts you can to get there, and then don't worry about it when you can't. But maybe a request you can do is, you can reach out and ask some believers to come visit you if you can't get out, and say like, hey, maybe like after church, once a month, Joe, your buddy Joe, who, you know, somebody, will come over to my house and he'll tell me what the sermon was like. And we'll just fellowship a little bit and it'll be like I was kind of there. You know, maybe I'll do that with a few different people and I'll rotate. I have six people and once every 6 weeks, they'll come to my house and be like, sermon recap, and then pray together. And maybe put on a worship song and do something. Take positive steps to try to be in fellowship and stuff as much as you can. That'd be my encouragement to you. But don't feel a lot of guilt over things you can't control. Josie Garrido says, hey, Mike, God bless you. Thank you very much. Enoch and Elisha are said to be in heaven in the Old Testament. Why did Jesus say in John 3:13 that no one has gone to heaven except him? Thank you. This, I actually have a video on this somewhere where I go into it in more detail after I was like organized all my thoughts and put it all together freshly. I don't know where that video is. I don't know if I'll even find it because life is super busy right now. As soon as the stream's over, I have things I have to do. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. This, I guess one way in which I would take it, and I'm actually, you know, humans are humans. I'm trying to remember the different views I had that I'm aware of on this. But one view would be that this ascension into heaven is one who on his own power can ascend to heaven. So not one who was brought to heaven, but one who has ascended into heaven. And he who descended from heaven, there's a sense of like his own power to do it. He came down, he goes up. And so he comes with the authority of heaven. And so he's able to speak to heavenly things. So he's in a unique position in that regard. I know there's a better answer than just that. So please don't take that as the final word. I don't know. Just don't remember right now what it would be. So, okay. Number 10, last question for today. The extra long live stream, the autopsy live stream on the rapture. And then I'll have a little closing word for people. Can you please share a few suggestions just for fun and faith building for us to do this weekend to grow in Christ besides going to church? Thanks for everything. Write a social media post that is just meant to evangelize people. Is it something you could do? How about this weekend, listen to scripture. Take a day where you don't do entertainment, or you minimize it. You do a little bit, but not a lot, and put the word of God on and just listen to scripture. Listen, why not listen to the whole book of Romans? That'd be cool. You could do that. It doesn't take too long. There's a cool, fun thing to do, faith building thing to do. Pray more. Maybe fast for one meal this weekend. If you don't want to fast for a day, fast for one meal this weekend and pray and seek the Lord and pray for the people that are turning to Christ right now. And that, that we'd have wisdom on how to navigate all the issues that are going on in our world and where we're at as Christians. That's a good thing to do. Memorize a verse, maybe pick a buddy and say, hey, you want to memorize this verse together? And, they probably will say no, but you can ask them. And so just, yeah, do something like that. When you go to church, go there thinking I'm going to be here to receive, but I'm also here to minister to somebody else. Maybe pray for somebody, pull them aside, encourage somebody. Just encourage them because you can. There's a few things you can do. So yeah, good question. Good thing to do. Stir each other up towards love and good works. Scripture actually says this, to stir one another up towards love and good works. So let's do that for each other. And my final word on all this rapture stuff, again, if you were part of it and you were roped in, please, please, please resist the temptation to say things like, well, at least we were hopeful. That's hiding you from facing the issue because you can be hopeful without believing in that. Total hope. In fact, you have to be hopeful without believing that you know the timing because you don't know it. So what you should say is we were being presumptuous. What you should say is we were in error. And maybe what you have to do is actually tell yourself, I think I know God's voice and maybe I don't. That doesn't mean God doesn't speak or God's unable to speak. It doesn't mean God's not real. It means that I need to recalibrate my discernment because I think I know God's voice and maybe I don't. And if I could fail in this area, I could fail in a lot of areas. So you got to go back to the drawing board on this stuff and you will hear God's voice most clearly all the time when you open the Word of God and you read what is written right there. That is how God speaks to us. That is the primary way in which God speaks to his people and is the most reliable way. Because we know it's his word. And I would say, get back to that. If you're part of a church that stirred up your faith, unless they publicly, hugely repent, run away from there and find a good church that is not caught up in that kind of stuff. And remember the names and faces for those two reasons, so that you can catch them out if they ever try to do it again, but also knowing that you will embrace them with grace and forgiveness if they'll genuinely repent and not do the half repentance or fake repentance or predicting new dates that we've seen from a lot of them already. So that's my final word on that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are coming. Jesus, you're going to return, and we don't know if it'll be now or 1,000 years from now, and we just do not know this, and people who say they do are in error. We pray that you would give us patience, hopefulness, that we would live our lives for you, so that whether we see you before the day is out, either on an individual level or some corporate sense, or if we get to our deathbeds and we close our eyes on earth and open them in your presence spiritually, we pray that you would help us to be steadfast, to be ready to leave now versus leave a legacy and survive through old age, where we're leaving an inheritance to our kids and we're thinking forward about the kingdom of God in a long-term sense. Help us to have that wisdom, Lord. We pray for those who were deceived by the rapture's deception that has gone on just recently, and we ask that they be brought to light and they would be humbled and restored. And for the non-believers who are mocking Christianity, we ask, Lord, that you would help real Christians to come across their path and they would see with all seriousness how true it really is. In Jesus' name, amen.